It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kick went forward and Rosie was onto the crumb. Kick to an open forward setup. Georgiades went to ground against Howard. But here comes Rioli. Forced the turnover. And Georgiades will walk it in. Rioli got to the back. Has foot in hand. Slipped over. Regained his footing. Doubled. Cut him back through. And snapped a quite memorable goal. Rowan Marshall sweeps the hand pass to Owens. Got under the kick inside 50. Here's Higgins. Takes the mark, left forward pocket. Higgins around the corner, takes the snap, nails it down for his second. And the Saints are only 10 points adrift.
Game still on the line, dispossessed. Horn Francis, no high free paid. Wines, Wines, the finest of wines. Nails a big moment goal, the ex-captain. And that might be enough.
It was a fitting day for us. For our club to play on Anzac Day again and to play with courage is what we needed to do. I was pretty proud of the boys to get that job done.
Port Adelaide survive a last man standing affair, riddled with injury, carnage and chaos. It's a vital 4 points for the Power, but how high will the cost prove to be as the Saints slip further away from the eight?
Peter Wright twirls the footy in hands. Left of centre, not severe. 50 metres out. Right, launches at the goal front. Contact was sweet. He's made a remarkable return from a month out. Two goals for Peter Wright. The Bombers six straight. Faultless.
Bobby nudges him out, goes and gets it. He's 60 from goal. What's he going to manufacture? That is the most phenomenal kick I've ever seen. To Elliott. To goal.
Kicks inside 50. Elliott! What a mark! What a theatre to launch like that! From 50 out, he's tormented Bombers fans in the past. It's a lovely kick to match the moment.
Gets it inside 50. Oh. Langford! He would kick this 9 times out of 10. He'd kick it 99 out of 100. And he's missed! Scores are level.
Anzac Day reprises the deeds of 1995. It's a draw. Can you believe it would happen again?
A memorable Anzac Day to be revelled in, littered with highlights and talking points. The biggest draw since the 2010 Grand Final reignites the extra time debate for participants and fan alike.
Did you feel the effort was where it needed to be in the second half?
No. First half I thought was fine. Second half, that's well below par.
What do you put that down to?
It's a good question. I don't really know the answer at this point in time. I have no excuses. We just didn't work as hard as they did.
And the woes of the Brisbane Lions laid bare in Canberra as the search for answers looks elusive for coach Chris Fagan. Are the grand finalists a spent force before the end of April? This is the Round 7 edition of Crunch Time. Can't remember a crunch time where we've got 4 games to work with. We are drowning in material and, well, the best has probably been played, but in prospect, the best is yet to come. Carlton and Geelong at the MCG later today. Jared Waitley with you for Crunch Time. David King is alongside me. Hello, Kingy.
Hello, G. Hello, everyone. I love this week. One on a Wednesday, a couple on a Thursday, one on a Friday. Can we space it out like this more regularly, Jared? It's been a haven for us football lovers, and wasn't probably the best game last night, but as you said, we've got some belters to talk about.
We are across the border with Hall of Famer Mark Bickley. Bix, welcome back to Crunch Time.
Hey, Jared. G'day, Kingy. When you were talking about the anticipation of the best still to come. I thought you might have been talking about the Crows in North Melbourne, perhaps. But, alas, no.
We might sneak a thought or two to there, but in the divvy up of 2 hours, it feels like a lower priority.
He started in a really nasty fashion.
Oh, King, you and I are the same, mate. We're in the same boat at the minute.
And Sam Edmund rounds out our quartet, and it's a busy time on the beat. Hello to you, Sam.
Big news week, Jared. Morning to you. Morning, Kingy. Morning, Bixton listeners this morning. But just there's plenty of time for that. I was taken an all-time Ross Lyon press conference last night. In no particular order. I didn't see it. What did you observe? And who's my personal favourite? And whose way did the free kick count go? I personally love. Don't play poker with Ross Lyon, ever.
I think we might revel in that before we're done as well. Thoughts last night, Bix, is some nights it's a high price to pay for victory, and that was Port Adelaide's reality.
Yeah, it was, particularly the quality of the player as well, because we know that Connor Rosie started fantastic. He's their captain. He's their fire starter quite often. And Alier is their best defender. And then Sam Powell-Pepper is so often, he's the barometer of that team. When you need someone to lay a big tackle or to kick a goal or to do some of the hard stuff, then he's often that player that does it. So those three players are really critical to Port Adelaide. And it's going to test their depth, considering they've already got Ivan Soldo on the sideline for the next 3 weeks as well. So this is a busy period for Port Adelaide, and I'm really interested to see how they cover those players.
What is the toll, Sam, that we know this morning?
Heavy. They've paid a heavy price for this. So Alier, I know we'll spend a bit of time getting to the tribunal specifics with this. Obviously, he's in the concussion protocol, so we can put a line in for him next week at a minimum. And then only a few minutes later, Sam Powell-Pepper limping off with that right knee injury. Now, this one doesn't look good at all. And there is, I suppose there's always hope until the scans are done. But there are real fears here. And like so many we see, so innocuous, reaching to take what was effectively an uncontested mark and landed awkwardly. They're waiting on the scans. They are hopeful. As I said, it doesn't look good. Ross Lyon, in that eventful press conference, ACL'd him, which was a curiosity in itself. And then Connor Rosie, the right hamstring coming off, of course, landed straight-legged, which was a curiosity as well in that marking contest with Matias Filippo. So he's going to miss weeks, just a matter of how many weeks he's going to miss. And then St Kilda got their issues on the other side as well with Rowan Marshall and Higgins, who we suspect might be suspended as well.
It's a sort of toll that can wreck a portion of your season, Kingy.
Yeah, it can. And I think you've got to understand how important Sam Powell-Pepper is to Port Adelaide. Mm. He's a wrecking ball, isn't he, Bix? If you look at just score involvements, I love going to score involvements. There's a lot of meaningless numbers out there and a lot of junk possessions really to be had. But if you look at last season, Rosie, Butters, and Finlayson is the wild card in the ruck. They're the top three score involvement players last year. Sam Powell-Pepper was fourth.
Mm.
So he's a critical player at forward 50 stoppages. He just goes straight line through it every time, and he draws free kicks, and he creates havoc. So this is one, and their draw's a little bit sticky, isn't it, the next couple of weeks? Crows, obviously, in the big showdown, which they get themselves up for no matter where they are on the table. And then they got Geelong in Geelong. So it's just an awkward time to have this run of injuries, but Powell-Pepper, I think, will have a significant impact on this team going forward.
In what worked for them is the value of resting Charlie Dixon the week before and sticking to their plan. Is he's the match winner up front for them last night, which to your overall point of managing players of a certain age or of a certain physical profile, is they got a huge dividend from the wisdom of that the week before.
Yeah, you've got to learn from, you know, history tells you so many great lessons, doesn't it? And Charlie missed a lot of footy in 23 and a lot of footy in 22 and a lot of footy in 2019. So managing him is a real challenge. And most of his damage, so we went back and had a look at what he does in his first three games, when he restarts from injury or when he starts the season. So if you just look at 2023, he plays around 1-3, kicks 3-3-3. Then he gets injured, rounds 8-12, comes back around 13-16 and gets going again. So most of his goals, 14 of his 23 goals, come in those six games. And so he basically kicked 9 goals in the other 8 games. You go back the year before, it's exactly the same. So his first 3 games are when he's fresh, healthy, fit, and at his aggressive best. Mm. And then I just think the toll of playing a little bit of ruck and a little bit he's the sole target down there, Bix. He's the one that stands under packs. And I just think you've got no other way of looking at this season but to keep him fresh.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And the other thing is when he is banged up, he looks banged up and he just can't do what we know he wants to do. And it was even more important last night because Todd Marshall's in a rut at the moment. He's down on confidence, and that's being played out. When he does win the ball, he's, you know, set shot goal kicking has been poor, which is generally a really strong point. Georgiades, we can give a little bit of leniency too, because he's just coming back from that knee reconstruction. And also Willy Rioli, who was better last night, has been a little bit down as well. So, you know, the fact that Dixon was able to stand up, he kicked four goals straight in a team that was really battling in front of goal. It was a mighty effort last night.
They had an interesting night, Port, because they could potentially have put the game away in the first 15 minutes if they'd put their dominance on the board, and that might have just shut St Kilda out. And having failed to do that, they were in this tooth and nail struggle to get through St Kilda all night, and it lasted the whole distance.
Yeah, that was the greatest 10-point smashing I've ever seen last night. They brained them all night, really, and they got goals at odd times, the Saints, to stay in it. But no matter which angle you watch that game from, Port were always winning that game. And it felt to me, Bix, like they had total control for the first 30 minutes. It should have been a 7 or 8 goal margin. It felt like that. It wasn't. And I think the scoreboard lies. I don't want to hear anyone talk to me about the collective volume of how much St Kilda have lost by this year. Oh, they've lost four games by a total of 26 points. I don't want to hear that, because that just lies to you, that result last night, that 10-point loss.
Yeah, and Port Adelaide did control it for long periods, but once again, the inability to put that ascendancy on the scoreboard, it was exactly the same as the Melbourne game, where they had all the numbers in their favour, but Melbourne were good enough to kick 15 goals 6 against them and end up costing them 4 points that night, Port Adelaide. Last night, St Kilda just weren't good enough to be able to do what Melbourne did to them, so they got away with one. So that's going to be the challenge now for Port going forward. Is where do they sit? Are they a top four side? And for me, they have to be able to finish a whole lot better than what they have this year. It's been a bit of a bugbear or a crutch they haven't been able to get over the top of. And they kicked poorly in round one. They kicked poorly against Melbourne. They've kicked poorly again last night. They just haven't been able to be efficient going inside forward 50. And their numbers suggest that, and particularly from set shots, which is one of the areas that is a little bit more controlled when you're having a shot at goal.
They're going to lose that steady hand at the top of the tree in Connor Rozee for a couple of weeks. You'd think 2 to 3. I think this might be a good thing to flush a couple out. So are you just happy to sit one out, one back, and not face the Breeze? Or do you need to flush a couple? I was wrapped with Burgoyne's game last night. Thought he was really good, Bix. We sort of know Butters. We know Houston. We know Willem Drew. So they're solid contributors. I thought Farrell played really well last night. He's been a little bit – I don't know what he is. Is he a score involvement player? Is he an interceptor, or is he just a nice to have? Just a guy that if you give him the ball every now and then, he'll hit a high level kick for you. But really, does he swing games? I thought Lockie Jones did some things that you go, yeah, that's good. So they need more from the midsection of their selected 23.
Yeah, those two players you mentioned are interesting as well in their back half, because the one thing that I sort of struggle with Port Adelaide is some of the really dangerous forwards are of that smaller sort of mid-size. Who's their lockdown player in defence? And, you know, if you're playing against Melbourne and Cozzy Pickett got a couple of goals against them, you're going to come up against the Giants, who have got three or four really nippy little small forwards. Charlie Cameron's going to be, you know, that style of player. Yeah, and I just don't know who that player is. They want it to be Lockie Jones because he's got the power and the speed. But he just hasn't been reliable enough with his disposal and with his ability to sort of stay close to those opposition players. So that to me is still just that question mark. Ryan Burton has been able to do that. He found himself out of the side last week, last night. They preferred Dylan Williams in his place. So I still think they're rolling a few things around in that back six, trying to find a balance that is going to enable them to take on, you know, some of the better forward half teams.
The St Kilda side of the equation, so they lived the season inside the eight last year. They're a long way back and chasing at 2 and 5. This was the press conference that most amused Sam Edmund last night as he visualised himself inside it.
You're a little bit disappointed with how you finished in that last quarter.
Oh, no, did you think we weren't running and didn't get close? Or
No, I'm just wondering. Could you have shown a little bit more dare in the last quarter?
Well, we sent a message taken. I thought we were daring.
Did you alter the way that you went about it at all, given their personnel issues?
Yeah, did you? What did you observe?
I'm just asking for your...
Oh, mine.
What about the free kick count,
25
to 10? Any thoughts on that?
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't even buy in. Whose way did it go?
I
I did it. Nah, that's not what it costs us to go. Ifs, buts, maybes, but I think the close loss is a reflection of where we're at. I think it, what is it, 8 points, 4 points, 1 point, what was it tonight?
Ten.
Eh?
Ten.
Ten with a 25-10 free kick count. But no, that's...
Oh, he was in very good form last night.
I could watch, instead of having North Melbourne versus Adelaide today, Biggs, I think we could have a two-hour press conference of Ross and it'd rate just as well.
So where are they, Kingy?
They're stuck in an awkward situation where they're really not good enough to take this group to the promised land, and they're too good to fall down the bottom of the tree, and he's too good a coach to allow that to happen because they don't believe in rebuilds.
But are they stuck? You use the term stuck.
They're stuck.
Are they stuck or are they evolving?
Well, what's the difference?
Well, one is stuck with no hope of any progress, and the other, the latter would be, they are where they are now with 7 players under 21 playing last night and trending in the right direction.
Well, I think they're a better list than last year. So they're always, you're always evolving. But how do you get those high? How do you get multiple high-end picks or players into your organisation? They're going to have to try and. Oh, we know they've gone after Degoe. We know they've gone after.
Yeah.
They'll be in for LDU. They'll be in for those sorts of guys. Getting one is the hardest part. They don't have a midfield torchbearer. That's what worries me. They don't have the guy. And Steele's a very good player, and he's as honest as the day is long, but he's not the guy. And until they get that player, they'll be here.
And that's the challenge for a lot of clubs, isn't it? And to be able to get those, and you need, you know, some clubs have got more than one. And you look at Port Adelaide last night, and you're thinking Rosie Butters, Horn Francis for the next 6 years looks reasonably attractive. Now, some of those younger players that you mentioned, Sammy, might move into that role. I'm really keen to see Matheus Filippo at some stage. I think he's only 18 still.
Yep.
And so he's got the potential to do that in the coming years, but it's just too early to do that. But they look impotent without King playing as well. You know, so when he goes out of their side, they just look a much lesser side, and they're already not a high-scoring side. And you take that contested bloke up forward who you can, you know, kick it to him to get out of jail. And the way they play as well, you know, it can be frustrating at times because they get so far up the ground, and then often they win the ball and they get to the middle of the ground and they've got no one ahead to really shoot at. So, yeah, I know that what Ross is trying to do, and we've seen glimpses of it when it works and they get over the back and they're able to kick goals. But just at the moment, without King, it just looks really hard work in their front half.
So the night they were fully stocked was the Collingwood game in round two, and they did score freely that night, and they picked up so much injury out of that game, and they just haven't been able to absorb it. So they're right back in the... They're just a grinding team who don't look like a scoring threat. But that night they had, had everybody there.
Yeah, and they did this last year. To be fair, he gets them. People come at Ross because they said, he sets the game up to not score. But they sort of set the game up to try and win. And this is their method. They want the ball in motion. They don't mind getting back to then charge forward. They don't mind using the full extremities of the oval. And I thought they'd have a better year this year. They've had a couple of players that really haven't come up. And I'm hard on Sinclair. He was pretty good last night. But his season's has been down. Their midfielders, Ross hasn't had the same season that he had over the last couple of years. They haven't. I mean, you talk a lot about King, but he hasn't really gone bang and being that player forward of the ball. So, Owens is another one. He does a lot of good things, but he hasn't gone that next level. So I think they're all capable. That's why I was excited this season. I was really excited with their opportunities this year. I thought that, you know, there's one, probably one spot available in the bottom part of the top four, and I thought maybe they're that fluker's chance. But now they're no hope at the moment, and then you start looking at where to from here. It's tough when you're in this situation.
Two dangerous tackles out of last night. The first one, Jack Higgins on Alir, Sam.
Yeah, and I suppose we can debate whether Alir contribute, and plenty are already, contributing to this by kicking and all of that, and he's in the motion of kicking, but it's still a dumping motion from Jack Higgins, and Alir's head still hits the ground, and he has failed his scat test in the aftermath. So if you run it through the table of offences, it's rough conduct, obviously. It's careless, it's high contact, and given the concussion, I'd say at least high impact, Jared. So that's a 2-week suspension through the table of events. If you look at Tom Barras, that was medium for a dump tackle on Michael Walters, and Walters' injury report was clear, and he's doing a week. So we'll get to Barras later, won't we, with a good behaviour bond. But just with Higgins, I think it has to be two if you run it through the offences. And he's failed the concussion test.
Yeah, so standard practice on concussion for a couple of years now has been severe.
Yeah, well, it has been. Yeah, and it could be severe. That's the next rung up, of course, if he's going to miss some football. So that trips into the three. And then the decision of Michael Christian is whether he chooses to send it up or whether he just gives it the three.
So I think it gets graded. But I do think there's... it's the second week in a row. I feel huge sympathy for Higgins in this scenario. I think there's a whole lot of things that conspire against him, and a tackle that wasn't going to end like that ends like that.
So this is where I come back to intent. I don't think at any stage of the tackle was he intending to dump him until Allaire put himself in some weird positioning trying to kick the ball.
So he was just dragging him to the ground?
Well, he was taking him. He's a big frame. Mm-hmm. You've got to put all your effort into getting him down. I don't think he was trying to get him down on his head. But because he went for that kicking motion, actually kicked the ball, he was in a vulnerable spot and there was no other option. He just basically put himself into that position. So I can see Chris O saying, you know what, I can't see it being 3 weeks. I really can't. I think he'd be unlucky to be suspended, in my opinion, because there's mitigating circumstances. And every now and then you're going to have one of these. We're aware
He has to be cited, though, because Chris O's only got the boxes in front of him. Jack Higgins hasn't had a chance to defend himself. He has to be cited.
He has to be cited. He has to say that he put him into a dangerous tackle. I'm saying
that's not a reporter. So for you, that's not a reportable offence.
For me, I can see reasons why it was more on Allaire than it was Higgins.
So the confluence of events is Allaire has to legally dispose of the footy.
Yeah.
The only way he's been held by one arm, the only way he can legally dispose of the footy is to kick it, which he does successfully, but it puts the axis of everything is just totally off in the moment that he goes to kick it. So yeah, I feel like the whole scenario conspires against Higgins to get a really unfortunate outcome.
Yeah, and Bix, I'd love your thoughts on this because the smaller player trying to get the bigger body down, I don't really think he was meaning to tip him. He wouldn't be able to do that, I don't think. But he ended up in that position, didn't he?
Well, generally in these, I'm closer with you generally in your thoughts around the head. I'm someone who thinks that concussion is the greatest threat to our game. And I think even when we say there's a whole range of events that ended up having it end the way it does, I still think this is a 2 to 3 week suspension. And the unluckiness is on Higgins and not on Allaire we're saying you maybe shouldn't be suspended. Maybe Allaire's just unlucky with the whole way it goes. I'll go the other way. I'm just going to say, if we're going to protect the head, and last year 30 players were concussed from tackling and being dunged into the ground, I'm just saying, well, if it's unlucky, it's unlucky on Higgins and you have to sit down, but we just cannot have this in the game. We cannot have blokes, even if it's unlucky, having their head sort of driven into the ground.
Mm. Yeah, so you hold a really firm line, and if there are unlucky players along the way in this period of time, then so be it. I think there's merit on both sides of it. I do think...
It needs a new table, though. The head trauma doesn't fall neatly into our matrix.
Yeah, so I would fully expect it to be graded this afternoon and then go to the tribunal
and then argue your case. And that's fine. That's the process. And I'm sure they would. I would love to see them challenge it and argue it because that's the process.
They'll have no other option. You have to challenge. You can't just sit back and say, we're unlucky. We'll take 3 weeks. Mm. You have to.
The other dangerous tackle was Farrell on Wilson. Which you and Luke Hodge instantly saw as, hey, don't play for the head into the ground to milk a free kick.
Yeah, I think this is something we've really got to come down on. I think we've got to put a serious fine. You've got to fine the faker, the guy who's pretending that he's been slammed, and the arm action, and then the motionless player on the ground for 2 seconds is enough to make us all go, he's in trouble. And then you go, hang on, he's conned us here. He's conned the umpire into a free kick. Terrific, you got your free kick. But with all this other stuff that's going on with head trauma at the moment, we're bending rules everywhere. We're straining, the old and the new thoughts on the game are getting strained. Everyone's arguing with one another because of what we've had to do. This needs to be stamped out quickly.
Yeah, so I think a fine is so difficult to arbitrate as to where and where not. So I was talking to somebody involved in the Charlie Cameron, Jake Lever case in the aftermath, and then the observation that the players are in each other's hands on both sides of the ball. So it's your obligation not to slap my head into the turf and leave me with concussion, which jeopardises my well-being and career.
Yep.
And it's my job not to fake the bounce on the ground or head on the ground to ensure that you don't get suspended. So you owe me a debt of gratitude and I owe you a debt of loyalty as well. It feels like a rare peer-to-peer moment. The players are losing on both sides of this if you do it that way. So I haven't been in this cohort clearly. But is there a way for the players to come together and go, okay, we understand the crackdown, but what we're not going to do is get each other suspended. Mm-hmm. So don't concuss each other where possible, but don't get each other suspended either. And whether there is a role with Paddy Dangerfield as the president of the Players Association and the collective of club representatives they have and leadership groups and players to actually take it peer-to-peer and go, let's not do this to each other.
That was my exact thought. This is an opportunity for the Players Association to come together and say, we don't need the AFL to fine us. We don't need them to tell us not to fake. And this is where the players should say, the onus is on us. It's hard enough for the umpires to get decisions right when, like you said, the players are slapping their hand on the ground. And, and I'll use Connor Rosie. He did it against Melbourne and got a free kick and kicked a goal.
Yeah.
And so Port fans can't feel too aggrieved because it's been going on for a little while and someone has to stand up and just say, no more. Like I say, this is exactly what you said. This is part of the arrangement that we have, that we are going to have a duty of care for your head, but don't go the other way and use it against us when we're not going to slam into
I think the starting point might even be for Chris Hadder to have a mention. We've noticed there's been a couple of players faking on the weekend. We're putting Darcy Wilson up. We've made a phone call to St Kilda today. We don't want to see this again. Like, just naming them might be enough from that side of things. Just to say, hey, you're on notice here. We don't want to see this again. We've got to stamp this out because it's making too many seriously intelligent people look stupid.
And it's happening more and more and more by the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's recognising the concussion is different to everything else. Go your hardest in a marking contest. Yeah. If you want to propel yourself forward and play for a free kick, whatever.
Yeah.
But where it's this, the crackdown is we can't lose on both fronts.
No, here. Like it.
Kingy, this is for you, mate. You've got the dirt file now. Each week we're going to highlight the fakers.
That's the dirt file.
You reckon I'm across the fakers?
The fakers file.
Exactly. Taylor Swift fakers right. Going to fake in Kingy's future. All right, Anzac Day next. This is crunch time for Azito. Do it yourself. Do it with Azito. Do you. And Freeway Motor Group, Cranbourne, Frankston, Mornington and Lilydale.